And so the next speaker is, I believe, Maria
Copsahilli.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. On the study of extragalactic supernova remnants. Yep. So this is a 15-minute talk. I'll give you five-minute warning, and please don't forget to cross my line of sight towards the end
okay.
of your talk.
To start by saying that I'm a PhD student at the University of Crete, and yes, I'll talk to you about extragalactic supernova remnants. Okay. The first part of my talk focuses on the detection of supernova remnants in four galaxies. Oops, sorry. 7793, NGC 7793, NGC 1313, NGC 45, and NGC 55. There. Just like that. So sorry. Okay, these galaxies have been selected because they satisfy some specific requirements. First of all, they are all spiral galaxies. We have already a sample of irregular galaxies, the study of which indicates some differences in supernova remnants between the different morphologies of galaxies. For example, in this plot from the work of Ioanna Leonidaki, we see squares are the spiral galaxies and triangles are the irregular galaxies. And this is the luminosity of supernova remnants. And we see that there is a trend for irregular galaxies to have more luminous supernova remnants. So having a sample of spiral galaxies gives us the opportunity to examine these differences. These galaxies are also nearby in order to resolve individual objects. They are face-on galaxies, except for NGC 55, which is almost a zone, but it's quite transparent. And there are X-ray data available, so we can compare in different wavelengths. Here, we focus on the optical study of supernova remnants, and we are working on data that we have obtained from Blanco 4-meter telescope. We have used the images in three filters, H-alpha, SELFR2, and the red continuum. Here, we have followed a totally automated method without the need of visual inspection. I'm going to describe this very briefly. First, we do the detection on the summed up H-alpha plus L42 image, and we do the photometry on the image of each filter. Then we do the continuum subtraction by using a scaling factor for each narrowband filter and multiplying it with the red continuum flux. We do not subtract the images. Instead, we apply the continuum subtraction on the photometric data. From the continuum subtracted sources, we keep those that are above 3 sigma in H-alpha, and from them, the sources that present H-alpha excess compared to continuum red. Then we found the sources that have SELFR2 over H-alpha higher than 0.4, that according to the traditional diagnostic are supernova remnants. And finally, we detect almost 180 candidate supernova remnants down to this H-alpha flux. And these sources, the SELFR2 over H-alpha of these sources is above 3 sigma. Here we see the distribution of the candidate supernova remnants on the galaxies. We see that they are correlated to the spiral arms, where are the star-forming regions. Now, exactly because we have used an automated method, we can quantify incompleteness and then construct luminosity functions. In order to do that, we have created the artificial objects based on the PSF of images, and we apply on them exactly the same procedure as we did for the real data. So here we have the incompleteness map for NGC 7793. Each square here you can see, shows the fraction of supernova remnants that we are able to detect as function of H-alpha and sulfur 2 flux. These points here are the candidate supernova remnants that we have detected. So to make it more clear, let's say that in this square we have 10 candidate supernova remnants that we have detected. And the completeness is 0.7. This means that these 10 candidate supernova remnants are the 70% of the real number of supernova remnants within these flux ranges. So we correct for the incompleteness and we construct luminosity functions. Here we have the 2D luminosity function, and each square shows the real number of supernova remnants as function of H-alpha and sulfur 2 luminosity. We also present 1D luminosity functions for H-alpha and sulfur 2. The red histogram shows the detected sources, the candidate supernova remnants. Then we correct for the incompleteness, and we have the blue histogram. As next step, we have added on the incompleteness map lines from shock models that show different line ratios, sulfur 2 over H-alpha, for different shock velocities. And the dashed line here is a 0.4 line above which the detected sources are traditionally supernova remnants. We see that there are lines with ratio below 0.4, and these lines correspond to the lower velocities. So this means that by using the traditional diagnostic, we miss supernova remnants with low velocities. And this led us to explore new diagnostics using shock and photonization models from MAPPINX 3. Shock models refer to shock-excited regions that from now on I'll call supernova remnants, and photonization models to photoionized regions that I will call H2 regions. From these models, we obtain grids of line ratios of strong forbidden lines for different parameters. The parameters for shock models are the velocity, the magnetic parameter, the density, and the abundance. And for the photonization models are the ionization parameter, the metallicity, the age, and the density. From now on, the models that I will show include the whole ranges of these parameters. So as first step, we have constructed the histogram of sulfur 2 over H-alpha for supernova remnants and H2 regions that we have obtained from the models that I said before. And this is a 0.4 line. We see that there is a significant fraction of supernova remnants below 0.4. And there's also contamination by H2 regions even above 0.4. So probably we must revise the traditional diagnostic. And as it was mentioned in the previous talk, this is a known problem. And in many studies, other forbidden lines are presented as a good indicators for separating supernova remnants from H2 regions. Here, we want to provide quantitative diagnostics. So we examine these forbidden lines normalized by the respective hydrogen lines. A good way to break the degeneracy between H2 region and supernova remnants is to use 2D diagnostics. So for example, here we have oxygen 2 over H beta versus oxygen 3 over H beta, oxygen 1 over H alpha versus oxygen 3 over H beta. The red points are the H2 regions and green points the supernova remnants from the starburst and shock models respectively. In both cases, we see that supernova remnants and H2 regions are quite well separated, although there is some overlap. We can have even higher power if we go to the three dimensions. Again, green points are supernova remnants and red points are H2 regions for sulfur 2, oxygen 1, oxygen 3, and oxygen 1, oxygen 2, oxygen 3. Again, they are well separated with some overlap. So what we want is to find the best line ratio combination and to find a line in the case of 2D or a surface in the case of 3D that separates supernova remnants from H2 regions. In order to do that, we have used support vector machines. This is a classification method that allows us to construct separation lines and surfaces. These lines and surfaces are described by the decision function, the most important part of which is the kernel function, which determines the flexibility of the separation line or surface. We have examined the cases of linear and third degree polynomial kernel. So now, in order to conclude to the most optimal line ratio combination, we have defined two quantities. Completeness of SNRs, which refers to the fraction of supernova remnants that have been classified as supernova remnants, and contamination of SNRs, which shows the fraction of H2 regions that incorrectly have been classified as supernova remnants. What we want is high completeness and low contamination. So we're talking about this region down here, and if we zoom in, we'll see the line ratio combinations. The green circles are the 3D diagnostics, and the red squares the 2D diagnostics. And we see that in general, 3D diagnostics work better. And the best of them is this one that combines the line ratios oxygen 1 over its alpha, oxygen 2 over its beta, and oxygen 3 over its beta. Here we have the separating surface for the diagnostic I said. We see that it has high completeness, almost 99%, and low contamination. However, since oxygen 2 is not always available, we provide two more 3D diagnostics, which use only redder lines. So we have sulfur 2, oxygen 1, and oxygen 3, and nitrogen 2, oxygen 1, and oxygen 3. Both of them have high completeness and low contamination. Here we see better the first diagnostic, oxygen 1, oxygen 2, and oxygen 3. Green points are the supernova remnants, and the red points, the H2 regions. We see that there are very few supernova remnants below the separating surface, where is the H2 regions locus, and very few H2 regions above the surface. We see the similar thing here in the case of sulfur 2, oxygen 1, and oxygen 3. Very few supernova remnants below the separating surface, and very few H2 regions above the surface. Now, according to the completeness versus contamination plot, the best 2D diagnostic is the one that combines oxygen 1 and oxygen 3 lines. This is the separation line. Again, its completeness is almost 99%. We also provide two more 2D diagnostics, which use only redder or only bluer lines, because in some cases, maybe these are more useful. For the redder lines, we have nitrogen 2 and oxygen 1, and for the bluer lines, oxygen 2 and oxygen 3. The last diagnostic does not have that high completeness, but still is the best one in the bluer regime. Also, we have compared our diagnostics with the real data, and we saw some indicative examples. Red points are the supernova remnants, and green points, the supernova remnants, and the red points, the H2 regions. And these lines are the separating lines that I showed before, our two diagnostics. In general, we see a very good agreement, although there are some misclassified sources. Most of these sources are referred to have high uncertainties, although we do not know exactly how much are those. But we should keep in mind that these sources have been detected, have been selected, using the sulfur 2 over H alpha higher than 0.4 criterion. So we do not expect 100% agreement. So now, if we want to photometric identify supernova remnants, according to what I said before, it would need at least 3 filters, which is very time consuming. So we introduce a new, more effective 1D diagnostic that uses the oxygen 1 line instead of sulfur 2 line, which, as we saw, misses a non-negligible number of supernova remnants. According to this diagnostic, supernova remnants, sources with oxygen 1 over H alpha higher than 0.017 are supernova remnants. And this diagnostic has a completeness of 97%, which is much higher than the completeness of 65% in the case of SELFR2. However, we know that the OXEN1 is a difficult line because it's not that strong, so it requires more hours of observations. And unfortunately, it's very close to a strong skyline, which increases our background. And to sum up, we have detected supernova remnants following a totally automated method, which allows us to quantify incompleteness maps and construct luminosity functions. We also present new 2D and 3D diagnostics for supernova remnant classification, and we introduce a 1D diagnostic for photometric identification, which is sensitive to lower velocity of SNRs. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria. Questions? Yohua?
Well, in your search for supernova remnants in other galaxies, you did not use the size as a criterion. So how do you distinguish between superbubbles and supernova remnants? A lot of superbubbles in the Large Magellan Cloud, they have a sub-2 to each alpha ratio greater than 0.4. Some even closer to 1.
You mean now in the diagnostics, in the detection?
So you're using automated way to select supernova remnant candidates. You're only using the line ratio as criterion. You're not using the size, morphology, or underlying stellar content. Hmm. Because if you use the HST image, you can see clearly superbubbles has a lot of OB stars underneath. You can distinguish them. We had a paper on M101 supernova remnants. Using HST images, you can clearly tell superbubbles and supernova remnants, they are different.
Yes, that's a very good point. And actually, we haven't taken into account this parameter, and maybe this is something that we have to do. Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
Maria, that's very, very nice. And it really looks like a big step forward in trying to quantify this confusion problem at the border. I just wanted to point out that obviously some of those color regions in your 2D and 3D plots bump right up against each other. So you were looking at faint objects, faint emission lines. There's going to be some errors in the emission line fluxes. The ratios, of course, the errors get bigger. So there's still going to be some uncertainty on things that are kind of right on the borderline as to whether they're clearly identified one way or the other, right? Or am I missing something? The errors are going to cause things to jump back and forth across those boundaries that are so close to each other. Observational errors.
Yes. So this here. Oh, sorry. Here. Huh? You're talking about this plot.
Just in general, things near the borderline are still going to have some significant uncertainty as to whether they're an SNR or an H2 region. And so just to highlight the point that Knox made, I mean, we're trying to then, in cases like that, use kinematics to decide whether it's a supernova remnant or an H2 region, in addition to just the line diagnostics. So, but there's just going to be some uncertainty at the borders between the various regions. That's my main point. And it's obvious, but I want to mention.
Dan wants to.
I just want to thank you for bringing the field to the 21st century with your approach. Which is very good. And of the comments that are being made, in the sense that your approach can embrace all this information, the more information you have, the more criteria by which you can learn and make the adjustments and go into different planes. It's the right approach. I'm very excited by what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
One last question. Yeah, over there.
Well, as I mentioned before, the more you have the indicators, is the better. No, but in particular, the O1 lines are, as you said, very near night sky lines, and that made really difficult to get images or in of a galaxy or something in that lines without contamination. No? For galaxies, perhaps, depending on the redshift, you can do that. But also, O1 lines are important for Herbig-Haro objects that all are also shocked nebula. Mm-hmm. Of course, in external galaxies, those objects should be punctual or something like that. It's perhaps not important, but it's interesting to take into account that possible contamination of a star-forming regions having high O1 over H-alpha line ratios.
Yes, actually, as you said, we should take account more information in order to distinguish.
Yes.
As we should examine it.
The kinematics is important, and well, there are supernova remnants with low velocities, but in general, they have high velocities.
Exactly. Yes.
And it's an important way to distinguish for super bubbles, too, no?
Yes. Yeah. So size and maybe luminosity.
Thank you.
Good,
All right, we gotta move on. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.